We're in the middle of, we just started yesterday, the third Aliyah, and now we're up to Mizachar, the law we learned yesterday. Yishalchem in a machne called Tzuruah, v'chol zov, v'chol tamil nefesh. There are three things that we said of the machne we learned yesterday. The Tzuruah, the Zov, and the tamil nefesh, we learned about the bones. We learned about the Chiddush and the Ukulis. What does it mean that Tzuruah? The Tzuruah is called the Segir. Okay, so we learned a few little nice things yesterday. Now we're up to Pasuk Gimel. Who has to leave? Who do these laws apply to? So Pasuk Gimel says, Mizachar Ad nekeva tishalechu el michutz lamachne tishalchum. This applies to the males, the females, outside the machne tishalchum, v'lo yitam with machanehem. And they shall not contaminate the machane, asher ani shochem b'sachem, which I am dwelling within. Rashi Pasuk Gimel says, Rashi here says, let's find the Rashi. Guess what? There's no Rashi. How do you like that? What does the Targum say? Midikar ad nukba tishalachun, you shall send from the male to the female, you shall send out. Lemi bara, lemashri sa, there tishalachun, lemi bara. Tishalachun, lemi bara means outside, like a baraisa. You have a Mishnah and a baraisa. A Mishnah, what has been codified by Rabbeinu HaKadosh, and whatever has been left out is called the baraisa. It's bara, it's outside. And what's inside was that, you shall send out, v'lo yitamas machanehem. Again, the Targum. Let me look over here. If there's any chidushim on the side of the page, over here. And this pasuk Gimel doesn't say very much. It just says shalchum mikra tishalchum. Murkeves, Tishluchu Oysam, Bechim Targum, Tishluchu Miturun. Okay, Shun, no, let's go further. Okay, fine, next Pasuk. Go quickly, okay, next Pasuk. Pasuk Dalit, Vayasuchain bine Yishol, Vayishalchu Oysam, El Michutz Lamachane, Kasher Diber Hashem El Moshe, Kain Osu bine Yisrael. Okay, finished, that's in the Parsha. Short and sweet. There is no Rashi on this pasuk either, and the Targum says Vavadu came bnei Yisrael v'shalachu yosoin l'nivara l'mashri sa, and they send them outside the machane kimo d'malel Hashem b'Moshe came avadu bnei Yisrael. Whatever Hashem told Moshe, that's exactly what they did. They follow orders. Okay, now we begin a new parasha. Pasuk dahei vayidaber Hashem Moshe lemor daber el bnei Yisrael. Can we come to bnei Yisrael? And ish isha ki yasu mikol chatoi sadam limol mal b'Hashem v'oshema hanefesh hahi. What's the case over here? What did the person do? The person derived benefit from the property of the Beis Hamikdash. Let's look at the Rashi on Pasuk Vav. Limol mal b'Hashem hareich. Now here's the Rashi is asking the very important question. Everything that we're about to learn over here, we already learned already. This already we learned in Vayikra. And this becomes a very big challenge as to why did the Torah bother to repeat something that we already learned before. Okay, there's no repetition in the Torah. So why is this halach being repeated? Limol mal b'Hashem harei chazar v'chosav kan parshas goizel v'nishba al sheker hi huamura b'parshas v'yikro u'mo'ala mal b'Hashem v'kichesh ba'amisoi. So this parsha discusses the case where a person steals and then he is suspected, and they ask him to swear that he did not steal, and he swears falsely. Or a person he knows testimony, is asked to testify about a situation, and he says, I don't know anything, I cannot be of help, I do not have anything to testify about. And they say, really swear to us that you do not have any knowledge of the event. And he swears, and then he later admits that he has sworn falsely. So in these examples where a person swears falsely regarding money, he has an obligation to bring a special carbon osham to pay the money that he swore falsely about and to add an additional fifth. So Rashi is asking the obvious question, why did the Torah repeat this again? Hare chazar v'kosav kan parshas goizel v'nishba al sheker hi ho amura. The law has been taught over here, or already we're taught, the parshas v'yikra, So why is the repeat of Mishnas Kan? The reason why it's being repeated over here, Bishvil Shnei Devarim Shnischat Shuba, there are two unique halachas. Ha'echo number one, Shekosav V'hisvadu. In this parash it says confession. Loimar She'enei Chayiv Choymesh V'osham Alpi Edim Ad She'yodeh Badovar. V'yasheni, the second chiddush, Al Gezel Hager Shehu Nitein LaKoyhanim. The first chiddush over here is a very interesting concept. And that is, he said this in society, where a person commits a crime. Think about in America. A person commits a crime. And then they apprehend him. And then they go to court. And the first thing is, what do you plead? Let's use Lahavdil Elif Alfei Havdalos, the American system of justice. In America, a person commits a crime, so and then he's caught. And there's going to be a trial. So the first thing is, what do you plead? What do you plead? Are you innocent or guilty? So many times people, they say, I'm innocent. Oh, you're innocent? Okay, we're going to go take you to court. Let's see if it's true. Let's go to a judge. A judge or a jury. Okay, and we're going to have a court case to see if what you either... You only have a court case is only when the person pleads his innocence. What happens if he pleads guilty? Okay, if he pleads guilty, they usually make a plea bargain. Don't waste our time. Don't waste everyone's time. Just plead guilty. And if you'll confess and plead guilty, we'll go easy on you. We'll give you only a shorter term. If you go to court, Rabashkin got 27 years. Rabashkin was offered a plea deal, 2 years. Okay, he could have just said, I confess to the crime, and you get 2 years. He said, no way, I did nothing wrong. So he went to trial, and they gave him 27 years. And then Trump came along and got him out. Now, what happens if a person goes to court, and he pleads, I'm innocent, and he goes to court, and the judge and the jury convict him? Witnesses come forward and testify his guilt. So then, what would you assume? Well, let's discuss the case of a person would confess. If he would confess immediately, he would have to pay the damages and bring a carbon asham and add a fifth. So what happens if he pleads innocence and then he goes to court and the court witnesses come and testify and the court declares him guilty? So what does he have to do? All he has to do is pay back the money. He does not bring a carbon and does not pay the additional fifth. The only time a person who swears falsely that he does not know testimony or that he did not steal and then has to pay what he has stolen or the loss that he has caused plus an additional fifth and a carbon is only when he confesses. But if he's proven guilty, he does not bring the carbon asham and does not pay the additional fifth. That is what's been taught over here in this parasha that we did not yet know. That the concept of confession. The law only applies if there's confession. Number two, that if a person steals from a ger and the ger dies, so there's no one to return the money to because the ger who has died does not have any Yershim, any descendants, any people that are going to inherit his assets, then the law is that when the money is taken from the thief and returned, it goes to the Kohanim. They get the assets. That is the Chiddush being taught over here in this pasuk. So with the Rashi, Limol Mal Hashem Harechosa V'Kasav Kan Parash Kez Goizel V'Nishbal Sheker He Amur B'Parash Asvayikor Molo Bo Mal Hashem Kishan Misoy. Confession number two, Vashani Al Gezel Hager. Shunitan Lakoyan. Okay, that's Rashi Pasig Vav. So Daber Bneshol Ish O Isha Ki Yasumikol Chatois Adam. What is the sin? Limol Mal Bahashem. What is the sin? The sin is to swear falsely that he does not owe money. Money, there's a claim against the person, and he claims, I paid you back already. Let's say a person borrows money. There's a shtar that says you owe me the money. And the person says, I pay back. And I swear that I pay back. And then he admits, I'm a liar. So he has to pay back the money plus an additional fifth plus a korban. And that's only when he confesses. V'yoshmo he's ha-nefesh ahi. Pasuk Zayin, let's read the next pasuk. V'his vadu. And they will confess. Es chato sama shoasu v'heshiv es ashamo birosho. He will then bring a korban asham birosho. And what does it mean, birosho? I don't know. I don't know what that word over here really means. We'll see in a moment. Maybe it means here for the principle. Vachami shiso, in addition to the rosh. I'm assuming that the word rosh means the principle. And in addition, you pay an additional fifth, yosefalov, vinosan, and you deliver the money, la'asher, to the person, or shamlo, to who you are guilty to, the person that you've caused the loss of money to. Let's see what is Rashi on this say over here. Pasuk Zayin, es ashamo birosho. I was correct. Hu akeren shenishvalov. The word rosho means the principal. If a person is someone that makes the claim, you owe me $100. I have a document that says you owe me $100, and the person says true, but I already paid you back, and I swear to that effect. Yeah, I'm not sure I got the case right. I don't remember. It's Baba Kama. I don't even remember what I did this morning. How am I going to remember what I learned in Baba Kama a long time ago? So, the principle, okay, whatever the case is, whatever the situation is where he has an obligation to pay back the principal, la share, and then you have to pay back the initial fifth of carbon osham, la share to the person, osham lo, lemi to the person, she nischayev lo, to whom you are guilty. Let's see the Targum, and maybe we'll have here a chiddush. A chiddush, pasuk hey, umalel Hashem im Moshe lememar. Malel, speak, im, b'nei Yisrael, the Jewish people, and say the following, Givar, a man, o ito, a woman, arei, yabdun, if they do, mikol choyve anosho l'shakara, they commit a crime, choyve means an avera, okay, he's translating the word chatos, l'shakara, shikar. So this is very interesting. He translates the word lim'ol ma'al to mean sheker, to lie. Okay, if not for the Targum, I would not translate the word. I don't think the standard translators translate the word lim'ol ma'al as sheker. I think they translate the word lim'ol to commit a wrongdoing. Ma'al means a mi'ila, a crime. To do something wrong. You don't ordinarily associate the word sheker with the word mi'ila. Mi'ila is you've overstepped your bounds. You've done something wrong. Sheker? What does sheker have to do with this? No, that's what it says. L'shakara shekar kodom Hashem v'chiyuv anosho hahu. And that person is guilty. So what's the halacha? V'hisvadu. The next pasuk, vi vadon yoschol vehon, confess the guilt, the avadu that he has done, vi osiv yoschoiv sei bereshe, he should then give the choiv sei his duty, his what he's obligated for the principal, the chum sei yosef alohi, vi yitain lid chayov le, and give the money to the person you're guilty to. And let's see what it says over here in the parish of the Targum, in the parish. There must be some chidushim over here. Okay, so over here, we're at the pasuk, Vav and Zayin. Let's read the Targum first. Let's first read the Targum. We read the Targum. What am I saying? Let's see the start of the page. Choyvei, okay, l'shoyne sholcheit ovoin osham pesha v'resha nims l'ro betun b'loshon choyv. Wow. So here, this is another home run, proof to the principle that we've always liked to talk about, and that is the main objective, one of the main objectives of the Targum is to simplify a simple language. Hebrew language is a short language, yet the Targum often takes many words which are basically the different words in Hebrew, and it gives them the same translation in Aramaic. And what is the word of the words? So he says over here in the Targum it says, what are the words that we're referring to over here? The words are, what are the collection of words? I lost the place one second over here. Here are the words. Chet, Ovoin, Osho, Pesha, and Resha. The Targum over here in the Parish, he says, if you'll study as all the Bar Mekumis, he tells you all the different, all the sources. The word can five different words. Chet, number two, Ovoin, number three, Osham, number four, Pesha, number five, Resha. Five different words with different roots in the Hebrew language. Uncalus translates all of them the same. He translates them choiv. A choiv. Person does a chet, does an ovon, does an act of resha. He does an osha, does a pesha. All of these words, Targum Uncalus, translates exactly the same, choiv. See, this is a great thing to write about the Targum. When we write our sefer on the Targum, we can write that the goal of the Targum is to simplify a simple language and point, case in point, look at this, five words, five completely different words, always translated with the same one word in Aramaic, choiv. Okay, that really, really says a lot. Now, over here, he goes on to say, now, by the way, if you would continue along this path, what would you say? You would say that when it says, Ni'ila, I would assume Ni'ila would be word number six. If Chet, Avon, Pesha, Osham, Resha all mean Choiv, so you might as well throw on to the wagon, bandwagon, another one, Mi'ila, because Mi'ila also means a transgression. Yet, the Targum does not translate Mi'ila with the word Choiv, but instead translates it with the word Sheker. That is an indication that Mi'ila is a different category of sin that cannot be associated with the classic type of averus of chet, avon, pesha, osham, and resha. Very interesting for me. That's over here. And then he goes on to say l'shakar asher. So what does it mean sheker? Targum mi'ila b'loshon sheker v'chid b'sifrei ein mi'ila b'chol makom ela shikur. Wow. The Gemara didon ein mal ela shimi. Ooh, now he quotes over the Gemara, the Talmud Bavli, mesechta mi'ila, and the second of the word mi'ila means a change, a shinui. The ayim asher kosav l'kama pasuk yibes. Okay, so I don't know. We have to go see more. But here he says the word obviously means something different. So when he says the word shek over here on the bottom, he explains it. It means what shek? What does it mean mi'ila? It means to swear falsely. Mi'ila automatically, because the word mi'ila is not part of this category, it automatically means there was an oath that was taken that was false. And later it was discovered, either through his own admission, or because there were witnesses that testified that he lied, so he swore sheker. Now in the Gemara talks about mi'ila, there's a whole Masechta Mi'ila, and Masechta Mi'ila is all about, it's not about swearing. The classic sugya of Mi'ila is, there's a nice English word, misappropriation. I think that's the correct word, misappropriation is where you have an object or an animal that is the property of the Beis HaMikdash, and a person takes this object and uses it for his own private benefit. That's called misappropriation. There is no oath in the Mishnaic term of Mi'ila. And if that is the case, what then does mi'ila mean? Mi'ila is mi'ila, misappropriation. Mi'ila means that you are deriving benefit from the property of the Beis Hamikdash. And the Gemara says the word mi'ila means a shinui, a change, because the law is when a person misappropriates a property of the Beis Hamikdash and derives benefit, instantly the object is no longer hekdesh. Ordinarily, when a person, you have an object of hekdesh and you want to remove its sanctity, the way you do so is by setting aside money and making a declaration, I am hereby redeeming, I am transferring the sanctity of this object onto this money. And then the money is sacred and the object is yotza l'chula. Now, that's the proper way to do it. Now, if it's an animal, of course, you can't do that. An animal that does not... There's some noises over here going on. I don't know what this noise is. An animal, you can't do that. An animal that has no blemish, you cannot do that. You have to go and first let it graze until it gets a blemish before you can do that. But let's say you have a bar of silver, or you have an object, you need to first redeem that. What happens if you don't redeem it? So the rule is, if you derive benefit from it, then automatically it's desanctified. Hekdesh is extremely sensitive. If someone abuses Hekdesh, instantly the object is desanctified. But because the person did it illegally, he had pleasure from it when it was still the property of the Beis HaMikdash, he's punished. And the punishment involves him bringing a carbon asham. Asham mi'ilois, plus he has to give an additional fifth. They have to pay its value to the Beis HaMikdash, plus an additional fifth. So it would appear from this Targum that there are two types of mi'ila. There's a mi'ila of mesechta mi'ila, which is also in the Torah, it's the same word. And that mi'ila has nothing to do with sheker. That has to do with a shinui, like it says in the Gemara, where by deriving benefit from something, you change its status. There is a shinui. Until now, it's the property of the Beis HaMikdash, and now it is mundane. There is a change in its status. And when there's a change in status, you are accountable for that change with paying its value, plus paying an additional fifth, plus bringing a carbon called asham mi'ilas. But that concept of mi'ila, which means a change, is not to be confused with the mi'ila that we are discussing in this particular pasuk. In this pasuk, word mi'ila has a completely different meaning. Mi'ila here means sheker. What sheker? What are you talking about sheker? It means you swore falsely. Okay, so there are two types of mi'ila. Is mi'ila miloshen sheker, or is mi'ila miloshen shinui? Okay, next. Kodam Hashem, chen tagim l'kamon, yilmusar mal b'Hashem, al ram pa'or, fa'in aval al Hashem al tevdi. Okay, the shukam with memory. Hashem was al Moshe v'yar, Hashem al tev, ha'yisra b'chet negir ma'am Hashem, aval kanam ilu ki yisho asa al ayin shal mal ki loy roye. Okay, he's in l'kosh v'nichshlu b'avodazor. Now he's saying another idea. He's saying here another idea. Abel Asher Ma'altem Bi Targum Deshekartum B'Nimri Amosh Yerim Shemialtem Hoysen Chetum Negin Hashem Hashem Shos Ein Shomal Kilo in the Roya. Okay, so he's saying another idea of Sheker. I mean, the same idea of Sheker. When a person swears falsely, he's basically making believe that Hashem does not see what he is doing. Okay, next. V'chuv anosho yeish v'unkelis metagim nefesh kolosh amikor nefesho avu kishemeduba b'cheit v'osham l'rosal yachis abadam l'nefesh haruchni shab'odam elu l'gufoy ayim ashkosa avu l'kamon ha'chu loshen zohar b'neishu musav al anosho. Very, very interesting what he's saying over here. He's saying over here very important. So, over here it says ki'yasu v'kol chato es adam limol mal b'hashem the oshma hanefeshai. What is the meaning of the word nefesh? Is nefesh mean the neshama? Or does nefesh mean the person, the body? So I would say it means the neshama. The neshama is guilty. The neshama has a defect. Because the person did an avera, so his neshama is now defective. Yet the Targum, and that's why, by the way, that's why it says nefesh hahi b'lashayin nekeva. Is nefesh generally feminine, and the neshama is now guilty. An avera has been done, the neshama has been damaged. Hanefesh hahi. Yet the Targum, for some reason, translates the word nefesh here to mean the person, the body. And because we're dealing with the guf, guf is lashon zochor. And therefore the Targum says hanefesh and anosha. Anosha means the person, the body. Hahu, the lashon zochor. How can the Targum do that? If the pasuk says nefesh, it's one thing you want to go say nefesh means the neshama. You want to say means the person. All right, maybe you can say that. But if the pasuk says hahi, and ahi is feminine, it can only be referring to the soul. It cannot be referring to the body. So how then can the Targum go and say, oh, when it says nefesh, it means the person, the anosha. And when it says the word hahi, lav davka hahi, it really means hahu, the person. But that's what he does. Doesn't explain. He just points out the question. The questions are usually much, much better than the answers. It's like conspiracy theories. The conspiracy theorists have incredibly good questions. The questions are usually amazing. Just because you have a good question doesn't mean that the answers that they give are correct. Conspiracy theorists, they give mamish questions that are mamish solid, airtight. Automatically, it has to be that no one landed on the moon. It has to be the earth is flat. They jump to this crazy, outrageous conclusions because of a question. It's a very big yesoid in conspiracy theories. Tak, what's the answer? I don't know. But just because I don't have an answer to the question, it doesn't mean the earth is flat. You ever see some of these conspiracies? They go and they show you these different scientific things to prove the earth is flat. And these mathematical formulas and like really compelling, proud questions. So what's the solution to the answer? What's the answer? I don't know. But so what do they say? Oh, has to be the earth is flat. I mean, come on. Just because you have a question doesn't mean you have a right to go off the deep end. So you have here also in a lot of these things in learning. Sometimes you have these incredible questions and there's no answer. But it doesn't mean you have to come to some outrageous conclusion. Over here we have a very tough question. It says Lenefesh Hahi. Nefesh isn't feminine. It says Hahi, which is feminine, and Targum says La Anosho Hahu, the body. Not the neshama, and zohar, who is masculine. I don't know. Okay, now we go to the next point over here. Okay, uncle is Targum Loshon Rabbim. All right, next. Loshon Chayv, Loshon Chayt. Okay, we're done over here. So now let's now go to the next pasuk. What do you do? Let's say this person does not have a goyel. Now this is referring to the ger. Let's say the English goyel, there's a redeemer to return the money to. So in other words, a person was stole money from a ger tzedek. A ger tzedek, ger sheniskayer kikoton shenoilad dami. When the ger dies, he has no relatives. And a regular Jew, stole from the ger. He swore to him that he doesn't owe him money. And then the ger dies. And now the Jew who swore falsely comes forward to court and confesses, I really did owe her money, I swore falsely. What is he going to do now? So he's going to still have to bring the Karban Asham. But what is he going to do regarding the money and the additional fifth? Who will he give the money to? So along comes this pasuk and it tells you a chiddush. If ain lo ish goyel lo hashiv ha'asham elav ha'asham ha'mushav la'Hashem, the guilt offering, the money, which the money that is being returned to Hashem, la koyhein, it shall go to the priest. Milvad, besides the el hakipurim asher yichaper bo olav, don't think that if the ger died, then in this instance there's no need to bring a carbon asham. No. The carbon asham remains no matter what. But the money, there's no one to give the money to, so you know what the money is going to be given to the Kohanim. Okay, let's see Rashi. Rashi says, V'ne'em lo ish goyel, shemeis ha-toiveya sheheshbioi. The toiveya, the person who made the claim and demanded that this person swear he's dead. V'ein lo yarshim. There's no one to give the money to when he comes forward on his own at a later point in time to confess. Now the Amru Rabbi said, the Amru Rabbi said, is there such a thing in this world, a human that does not have a relative? Every Jew has a relative. You just go higher and higher. Go down to children. If there are no children, you go to the parents. If there are no parents, you go to the siblings. If there are no siblings, you go to the siblings' children. If there are no siblings, no children, then you go to the uncle. Well, you only go to the grandfather. You go to the grandfather. He gets it. And if there's no grandfather, then it goes to the uncles. The uncles, the feta, and the what's an aunt in Yiddish? Tante. The tantas and the fetters. It goes to the, there's always a relative. There's always someone that wants your money. There's always someone out there that will want your money. Money, just walk down the street, they'll attack you. Go to a funeral. Stalker, tatsil, mimaves. Did that happen to you by a funeral? I saw people come out of town. I once saw. We go to a funeral, these collectors, they come. Stalker, tatsil, mimaves. They shake the pushka right in front of your face. They're going to scare you. Stalker. So I think the average person who lives in this community is totally immune to this. But sometimes there's a funeral in Brooklyn and there are relatives who come from out of town. They come from Canada. They come from Cleveland. They come from Chveis, from another place. And they come to a funeral in Brooklyn.
Against it. Oh. He said, you're making fun of the dead person.
That's right.
Because you're saying that he didn't give tzedakah so you died.
Exactly. They don't care. The people who ask the tzedakah, they have a different pshat. They're not interested in hearing that. And they stick the pushkin in front of your face and they say, tzedakah, tatsul, mimaves. They're basically telling you, if you don't give me money, you're going to be in the box tomorrow. That's what they're really trying to sell you. They're trying to scare you. People in Flatbush, water off a duck. But when people from out of town come to Brooklyn to a funeral, I've never gone to a funeral in Brooklyn, and they come and saw, and then all of a sudden they walk out, and a guy sticks the pushka in front of him and says, Stalker, Tatsu, Mimaves. They freak out. I once saw this. I once saw a guy from out of town. He never saw this, and the guy puts it in front of his face.
Yeah, all you need is a guy like that to go in Bnei Brak today at the Levaya Rav Gersh. Right?
The guy freaked out. I remember this. The guy freaked out. He never saw this. He never saw this before. He didn't believe people can be so crazy in Brooklyn. They can go do that by a funeral, and just stick a pushka. He thought like. I remember his eyes popped out. All right. People are poor. What are you gonna do about it? Kilo yechtal evyon mikerev aretz. I'll tell you very quickly. I know there was a certain yeshiva who caters to boys who need help. Meaning, you know, they're like shtickle off the derech, this and that. We have a Shmuel Birnbaum, Zohar Levracha, he told someone about that yeshiva That yeshiva will always be around forever. I don't know what's going to be with all the other big yeshivas, you know, the big fancy yeshivas that have nice, you know, that have, you know, only the choshva boys, only the, you know, the mainstream Orthodox boys, and wouldn't take a boy like that. I don't know if they'll be around forever. But that yeshiva, where they specialize in dealing with boys who need a lot of help, means why? It's a pasuk. Ki lo yechtal evyain mikerev haaretz. There will always be poor people in the world. And evyain, poor, doesn't only mean in money. Ein oni ela bedas. Poverty means also in knowledge. And a yeshiva that caters to evyoinim, talmidim, who are begeder evyoinim in das, because whatever, due to the circumstance, Rachmana litzlan, there's always people, the pasuk says, there's always going to be people like that. There's always going to be in society evyoinim. And it doesn't just mean poor, it means ein oni ela bedas. So that yeshiva will always be around. The other yeshivas that only take the A+ Talmidim, who says they'll be around tomorrow? Every day there's a new fad, there's a new yeshiva, a new shul, a new public speaker. You know, there's all these like the popular people who are once very, very popular. Very popular. They're on the talking circuit. Like you go to these events, this guy's always going to speak. And this guy, these famous people, where are they now? All the popular speakers from 5 years ago, you don't hear about them anymore. Gone. And today there are new ones. And these new ones, give them 2-3 years, they'll also be gone. Nothing in this world is forever. Nothing. Everything comes and goes. Remember Reisman, remember his heyday? He had 1,500 people. Every Mitzvah Shabbos. He's a very great person, Rabbi Reisman. He's mamish, but he doesn't get 1,500 people anymore. Now he has Shvach HaMaisis. What happened? I don't know. It's a mazel. It's mamish a mazel. Everything in this world is a mazel. Everything has its time and place. Okay, Svarim, book, you know, everything is like that. All right, getting back to our topic over here. So over here, the ger has no one. So it says over here, the pasuk goes to the kohen. But don't forget to bring the carbon. Okay, let's see the Rashi. Rashi says, he died. When this person decided to confess. There's no relative. Oy bein, oy bas, oy och, oy she'er b'saroy, ha'koroy b'mishpachtoy, b'mishpachas oviv l'mala ad Yaakov. Go all the way back to Yaakov Avinu. Ela, where is there a situation where there is no one? Ze ha'ger shemes. The ain lo yarsha. Ha asham amushav zeh hakeren v'achaymish. The asham, the guilt money, which is the money that is owed, which includes the principal, and the fifth, la Hashem lakoyen. Kino'o, what's these two words here? Kino'o Hashem. Hashem takes possession. V'nosnu lakoyen, sheba oisoy mishma. And Hashem, the money of a ger, goes to Hashem. And then Hashem, in turn, gives it as a gift to the Kohanim. Which Kohen? The Kohen that is on duty at the time when he confesses. Whichever Kohen happens to be the Beis HaMikdash on duty, in that Mishmar, they get the money, they divide it among themselves. Milvad El HaKippurim, Ha'amur B'vayikra Shehu Tzarech La'u, besides the El HaKippurim, which means the Karbon Asham. What does Rashi say on this pasuk? Rashi says, the Targum say, "Unless leguvra porik." So this is an interesting translation. Targum translates the word Goel as a porik. Porik means to redeem. Le osava choy vos choy sole, to whom it will come, the money, the guilt money to him. Dim siv kodam Hashem. Now, what does it mean, dim siv? La sa chayv sole, chayv sa dim siv, dim that is returned. Okay, it means that is returned. So where does the money go? Kodam Hashem, it goes to Hashem, lecho hana, to the Kohen, bar, besides the obligation to bring the El Ha'asham, midikar, that's the ram, kipuraya, the kapar be alohi, which there is atonement for. What is over here in the safe over here on the side? Pardon, v'chenu loshna, chas v'yif, Kainu mitzvareinu, Kainu mitzvare means redemption. Okay, choyv sa dimisiv kodem Hashem, targum ha'oshem ha'mushav l'Hashem ha'kesef, v'chein perish Rashi, al v'mokim she'akavon ha'karbon ha'oshem, v'targim kolosh na'kosav ashma'ah. So he's saying over here something important. Over here, when it says the word ha'oshem generally means a korban ha'oshem. Here, the word ha'oshem refers to money, the money that is owed. So here he's pointing out that the Targum is precise. Whenever we're talking about the Karbon Osham, the Targum's word would be the Ashma, Aleph, Shin, Mem, Aleph. But here we're not talking about an animal that is being offered as a Karbon. We are talking about cash. This fellow, he swore falsely that he does not owe money, and now he confesses and brings the money and is returning the money. So when it says he's coming to return the money, the term the Torah uses to define the money is the word asham. That's not a good word to use. You're confusing us, because we ordinarily use the word asham in reference to an animal that is being offered on the Mizbeach as a korban asham, which has its unique set of rules. It's kodshei kodoshim, shchitas batzofain, the blood goes lamala, not lamata. It's cut only one day and one night can be eaten, only by the Kohanim. So he points out that the Targum, whenever referring to the animal, he uses the word Ashma with an Aleph at the end. And whenever referring to money, guilt money, he says, Stam, Osham. That's why the Targum, blessed, I put Los Vachazoch. He says, Midbar. He translates the word choiv. Here the word asham is called a choiv, not ashmo. Ashmo is the carbon, choivsa is the money. That's the point that he's making over here. Alright, we're going to stop over here. We learned at least something over here today. Thank you very much for coming. Keep me awake. Have a good night, Liz. Good night.
Good night. Good night, everybody. Did anyone fall asleep? Anyone still sleeping?
No.
Good night.
Good night, everyone. Good night.
Good night, Eshel. I get you left. I sent you something from Rakefet.
Oh, yeah? Okay, I gotta go look.
All right. It's about, he did this like 10 years ago in Das
Torah. Oh, that's his big thing. That's his big thing. He goes
very
crazy
good
about that. He goes crazy. Remember that? Remember what happened with Rakefet? Remember what happened with Rakefet? Remember what happened with Ami Magazine? Ami Magazine? A couple of years ago, Ami Magazine. A couple of years ago, Ami Frankfurter from Ami Magazine. Ami Magazine, he said he quoted Rakefet. I don't know how in the world he got a hold of Rakefet. I don't know. Asat Mechosid.
Right.
And he basically, I don't remember. He said he wrote something that was not, I don't know, Chleza. I think he basically mocked him. He mocked him. He put a picture of him, a very unflattering picture of Rakefet. And he basically told him, basically says, who does he think he is? And Rakefet literally went crazy. He went out of his mind. And he cursed him out for the next 10 weeks. Non-stop. He went to sugar.
On
the Shia. You go listen to those Shia in the lady. When Kevin basically says,
okay.
Avero, I am basically the only authority on the concept of Das Torah, and there's no one else in the world that knows Das Torah like I do. And it's Frankfurter from Ami. He was a mamish, he was a really nice.
You know what he said? I'll tell you two things he says. One thing he says, there are two revisionists who think they rule the world, the Communist Party and Akkadosh Yisrael.
All right, good, fine. So then what happened? Listen to this.
He shows that Das Torah was invented by Agudah in 19...
I know, I heard that. I know. So what happened? Frankfurter, he went to visit him. He went to Eretz Yisrael. Anyway, he goes to Eretz Yisrael. And he wrote this amazing, amazing article. It's a very long article. One of the longest things I ever saw in that night. It went on and on. It was a phenomenal article. Complimentary. It was unbelievable. And he was very happy. He never said a bad word about him again. It was such a good article. I was in the
wedding. It was a wedding Sunday night in the New Hall in Manhattan Beach.
Yeah. Shit? Wait. That shit?
His name is.
Whose hall is this?
I don't know who the hall is, but it's a Hasidic name, right?
Michael Schick? Michael Schick is the Bible Boston now?
I don't know. The
Hassan
is the uncle of the
Samareva, Meisel. I saw this. Where did I see this? Matzev.
His uncle who is the
IDF.
Who is the right?
With his triangle,
he's related to
Vishnu. He's a Vishnu.
He's
the Ishmaimo.
Okay.
Yeah, I saw that.
So,
he went to the IDF, he's the IDF.
Yeah, he served, right?
I saw that.
All right,
Zygizont. Mm-hmm.